thanks for joining me this morning. I appreciate you coming in this morning. I wanted to, you know, we got connected with a longtime friend there sitting beside you that I've known for a long time that connected the two of us. And so I appreciate you coming on and kind of talking a little bit this morning about, you know, your latest project and where that's all headed. So thanks for joining me.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. So, tell a little bit before we jump right in. You know, the best space is kind of what we're here to really kind of talk about, and learn a little bit more about from my perspective. I know a little bit about it, but kind of before we dive too heavily into the best space in particular, tell me a little bit about like what's your background. Is this like your first nonprofit? You know, do you have a history of working with nonprofits, or you know, kind of what's your background there a little bit? Just give people some background on you.
Right. So my girlfriend who passed from cancer at Advent Health, which is the largest medical organization in the United States of America. And she died going through cervical cancer at Advent Health. But we previously, we created what's referred to as the Church of Miel, Miel meaning honey in French and in Spanish, miele in Italian, these butterflies and flowers is kind of like, you know, it's a belief. We believe that if we can save these butterflies and the pollination source flowers, that we could survive longer. As a matter of fact, we created, that was our first nonprofit start in 2017. And off of it, we spun several organizations that are nonprofits under the umbrella of the Church of Miel, which gives us the ability to be separation of church and state in regards. The more simple way to explain it, and people are like, I never thought about that. It's like, for instance, the Mormon Church has JetBlue. The Marriott. That's why the Book of Mormon's in the drawers at the Marriott's, right? Black and Decker hardware, property, airplanes, Alaska Air. They're again to JetBlue, SunWest, several other organizations and association. I was like, why don't we just create an organization? We paid over $2 million to Advent Health, even after insurance. And they, in fact, are our business partners. So it's not like, we in fact work with the Best Space Foundation hand in hand. That's why our signs, when it comes to the Best Space parking locations, which represents persons battling cancer, conquering cancer, is available for businesses and all over the Advent Health campuses, because they do not recognize, American Disability Association does not recognize people with cancer as being quote unquote disabled. And the ADA and the American Disability Association, and they're our friends. Christine Woodall, W-O-O-D-E-L-L, is our senior rep in the association. And we just continue to create nonprofits in association with and through our organization. As I say, as an analogy or a comparison to as well, the Mormon Church. That's why Brandon and myself, we created Digital Miel. And other organizations, fictitious names, Little Hands, all sorts of nonprofits that flow underneath the realm of the Church of Miel. Yeah. And mind you, the Best Space Foundation, Inc., we created exclusively Brandon's organization, Digital Miel, which handles all of our digital aspects, runs underneath the church. And so we just control our organization financially and legally in regards. And so I've licensed hairstylist, but I haven't charged my clients since 2017. I'm a nonprofit. And so people that come in, I'm like, listen, they know who I am. They know what I'm about. They're like, this is the coolest thing ever, man. Like, I'm going to give a donation. The donation that I asked for would be, you know, what I would have normally charged an individual to have his or her hair done. And so it just kind of parlays into a donation that supports our organization. And so if they believe, they keep coming back. If they don't, you know, they don't. I've kind of steered away from the whole hair stylist aspect. And because there's so much work to be done when it comes to nonprofits, and it just overwhelms us in all regards. It's quite, it's more of a job. I love it. I mean, it's what we do. It's who I am. And so to give back to society. And the main statement that's always said is, I didn't know that. And that's where Brandon like totally hit upon that. That's our very first statement in our website. It's like, did you know?
Yeah.
And people are like, I never knew that you can't. But that's why the spaces that are in association with the American Disability Association, the blue and the white, recognized and trademarked in regards. Ours too as well. Our color, the lavender color, is trademarked, as well as the words, the best space, in the font and association. Is ours. We own it. And so when you see that sign, you're like, if you're battling cancer or you know something that's going on in regards to cancer, you're welcome to park there. It's our gift, truly a gift. So, but everything that I do is associated with a nonprofit. Every single organization I've created is, in fact, since 2017, a nonprofit.
Yeah. I mean, I think people don't, you're right. And this is one of the things that struck me when I was speaking with Brandon was just, you know, I think people don't, you know, you think of handicap and you think of somebody with a leg brace or a foot cast or, you know, an elderly person that struggles to walk around perhaps. But you know, you really don't think of cancer, but if you've known anybody that's, you know, gone through treatment, especially with chemotherapy, you know, as they've gone through many sessions, it depletes the body and it makes them very weak and it makes it very difficult to get around. And, you know, even I've seen that, not that I've known anybody close to me, but, even I've seen that, those outcomes. And so It can be very interesting that, you know, to me, I guess I even always assumed that they had access to these regular handicap spots. And they
there again, you just answered the question. Did you know?
Yeah. 100%.
No.
Did you know?
Did you know? The answer is no, you cannot.
You cannot.
You have to be sick for 6 months. You have to be sick consecutively for 12 to receive a disability sticker.
What's interesting, mm-hmm. like I was at Target on Colonial last week, and there's literally 24 fucking handicap spots.
None of them
were taken. Yeah. Everybody else is in the back.
Yeah.
And they're just literally planted there for what?
Legally. Well, they have to by law when it comes
And
understandably so.
24 handicap spots. There should be at least one best space.
Well, and let me continue that conversation.
Please.
Speaking. So, when it came to or comes to the Advent Health, our locations where their cancer institutes are, we're in several counties across the state of Florida at this point. I showcased and showed that once we installed 86 cancer, the best space spots at their cancer institute, one of their handicapped spaces were taken and all of the best space locations were taken at the cancer institutes. Mind you,
what a testimonial that is.
Truly. And so that's why even still as well, when it comes to organization, I'm like, just let me put two signs in your campus. Even if it's like a restaurant, like Sunny's Barbecue. You're a Florida boy?
Yeah. Yeah. So lived there for quite a while.
Right on. So Jamie Harbath. So their particular organization, Sunny's, they're like, well, we represent veterans, American veterans. Did you know that the largest percentage of persons that have cancer are American veterans?
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't know that. And then the VP gets cancer and they're like, hey, can we talk about putting these signs out? I said, I'll put these signs up on your campuses, or restaurants that you feel most visited, or however you want to term that per se. And let's just watch and see how many people park in the handicap spaces and how many people park in the best space.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling. It's because you... There again, too, we don't police it with regards to the government. We had it in legislation for 3 years, and I pulled it off. And our state rep and also our senator, she was like, probably one more year. We only passed 7 laws a year in legislation in the state of Florida. And which is, listen, honestly, it was a
blessing. Heaven forbid they do too much at once.
Well, it was kind of a blessing because didn't want the government to tell someone how sick they were. If you understand where I'm going with that, like, are you really sick? You know, like the fact of the matter is that my girlfriend who passed was stunning. absolutely gorgeous. I mean, as a matter of fact, we created this business, The Best Space, and in association with Advent Health as our partner in her name. She's the only name sign on all Advent Health campuses across 14 states in regards. So in that note, the key to the castle is when it comes to The Best Space, the signs, lavender signs with lavender lines, is that nobody knows. There again, did you know? They don't. And so our purpose today, and have been since, especially with Brandon and myself, is that we've got to get the message out that, did you know? And people are like, I never knew that, man. We have executives that are like, man, I never knew that. But you're right, I can't park there. We have the voice of the Orlando Magic, Paul Kennedy, and also the Tampa Bay Lightning. Paul Kennedy's battling prostate cancer. He's like, dude, I never knew that. I had to park six floors up, walk down. He almost didn't make it to the door because he was so weak, battling cancer, man, fighting. And when you get done with chemo, it's not any better, dude. He had to walk back up six floors.
Tell him about the chemo parking lot, which was all the people vomiting. And
oh, yeah. So, and there, we have that, especially with our radio pieces here locally. If you drive into, and I ask anybody to, I'm like, I really do. If you have any doubts of what I'm saying, drive into the floors with regards to the parking garage. There's throw up all over the place, man. You watch people throwing up, getting in their car because they just got done with chemo. And then they got to drive home or wherever they're going. You understand? This is real. So mind you, when it comes to Advent Health, we already are in over 200 signs across those campuses, but the one downtown where Margaret, my girlfriend, fought, they're changing one third of the parking lot to support The Best Space.
Yes.
Instead of people having to drive six floors up, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of my next questions, and you sort of touched on it there. Are the legalities of it, because I know, and I wholeheartedly agree. And look, I'm not trying to say that we should have, less access for the handicapped. I think we've made great, great strides in that, but I do acknowledge that almost every time you go to a public space for public parking, the vast majority of the handicapped spaces are empty in my experience. And so my question is kind of twofold. One is, what are the steps to either change those laws to be able to be, to maybe portion off some of those already designated handicap spaces for this, or just add more to it?
No. So we don't want to, there again too, as well. And with the note from the ADA, they're never going to accept cancer as a disability.
Really?
Never. Fact of the matter, in 1990, we were the last industrial company to, in fact, incorporate the ADA.
Is it because it's considered a disease?
Because it's exponentially growing. It's going to be 40% larger, more people in the next 5 years. There are 22.4% more people right now that have cancer than are disabled. So you can imagine an entire parking lot being supported by. And the fact of the matter is, they're not going to do that. And I don't want the government involved. I don't, man. Listen, I love the government. They support my organizations wholeheartedly. They provide us opportunities to do things. However, this is a particular gift. They will not ever represent cancer. And that's fine. Good. Great. So then let's continue our business by providing the best space as a gift. In other words, your donation provides that space for you're someone you knew, someone you love now, someone who you hope doesn't get cancer, but seems like they may, whatever. The fact of the matter is, we all will be affected by cancer in one way, affected and affected one way or another. You know, I personally affected and affected as well. That's why I started this organization. So
is that kind of the structure of being able to spread it then is your mission? Obviously, there's a lot of marketing that needs to get the word out about this and get this out there. But specifically, instead of going the legal route, trying to change the laws to require places to add extra spaces designated for cancer patients, instead your approach is to go to the individual organizations themselves on a one-on-one basis and say, hey, let's do this. And these spaces will be paid for through our donations, essentially. Yeah. So you're kind of like paying for that those parking spaces on a monthly basis at those businesses, or they're donating spaces.
It's a donation towards it. We're a charity, so it's a charitable contribution to a nonprofit. The fact of the matter is this: do you know anybody who has had cancer?
Everybody does.
Do you know anybody?
Yeah.
Right. Myself too, as well. Yeah. Everybody does. And so here's the gift. The gift is you're like, oh, man. Every single person's like, you're right. I did have to walk. I had to drop my mother off. Here's the thing. You have to drop, and I'm not sure if we want to post this. I'm just going to talk to you as a friend right now. But when it comes to St. Jude's, which is Children's Hospital located in Nashville, you know, Tennessee, there are locations, lot 24 and 25, which are a quarter mile away from the hospital. You have 10 minutes to drop your child off who's fighting cancer. You have to go park your car. And they pick you up in a tram and bring you back. Now, mind you, not everybody has a mother and a father. You drop that kid off and they're like, fucking, I have no idea where I am. You know, I know I'm supposed to be at a hospital. Have you walked into a hospital? It's not you're not like, yippity yay, I'm going to a hospital today to have surgery. It's not a party, man. It's a scary fucking place. And these kids get dropped off. Lot 24 and 25, quarter mile away. They get picked up. Mind you, their cars are there and they're all safe. They got basically a hotel situation at St. Jude's. But the point of the matter is they can't park on the campus near their child. They have to fucking, and that's exactly how it's looked at.
And nobody's fucking recognized this ever.
And are we like cuss and stuff like that? Like, we're just talking right here. What's going on?
Yeah, we did.
All right, cool, man.
No rules.
All right. But the fact of the matter is that it comes to, as a matter of fact, when it comes to Sonny's barbecue, they're like, yeah, I'm not sure. And then the VP gets canceled. Like, hey, can we talk about this again? Mm-hmm. There are newscasters here, anchors, dead from cancer. So we're putting, as a matter of fact, we already have put signs at their stations in regards to those particular anchors who died at Channel 9, Channel 6, Channel 2. I can keep going. I mean, all of them. There's somebody dying in these organizations. And so I'm like, why are we not? There again, too, as well. It's a gift. The whole idea behind what we're doing is so that you don't have to walk for cancer any farther or any further.
Think about that.
It's almost like we've sort of neglected cancer and cancer treatment to some extent, because we know that it's something that literally could affect anybody. We don't, you know, there are some
people do 5Ks for cancer and whatever, right? They're 5K walks for cancer. These are not
research.
This is not helping cancer though.
No, so I want to hear what you have to say. I like your hair. I like that darker image that you have going on right now. But go ahead, dude. I'm listening. I'm a hairstylist. So I was like, I like that. Go ahead.
Yeah. The best case, you don't walk for cancer. Yeah.
But let him ask the question so we can answer. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah. No. Well, I was just thinking, you know, to myself, you know, it feels like we've almost just expected, you know. A lot of people are going to get cancer. Not a lot we can do about it. We're just going to have to deal with it and just kind of put it over here because we don't want to really deal with it, because cancer is something that literally could affect anybody. And other than like maybe getting skin cancer for being in the sun too much, or smoking, obviously, for lung cancer, there's a lot of people get cancers and there's really no way to trace what caused it per se. Well, it could be 100 million things that we have done over the course of our lives.
Well, that's a notable, listen, we all understand that. That's a fact. Those are facts. Check that, Mark. The fact of the matter is too, as well, is your money goes to quote unquote research. We do sponsor it because it's notable, and we have to put our money elsewhere too, as well. When it comes to Advent Health cancer research, have they cured cancer? So yes or no question?
No.
But you know, what we're providing is a tangible asset to recognize the fact that you have cancer. The best space. Your money's going where? God only knows, man. I hate to say it, but they're not curing cancer, man. And here's the thing. You can dump all your money into this research. Have a good time. I've seen these locations. They're $40 million machines. They're incredible. Smart guys in there. We haven't cured cancer, but I'm giving persons, people a chance as a gift that we recognize that we haven't cured cancer. And here's a parking place for you right next to the ADA spaces. We're not ever taking their spaces. We agreed to that in contract. And like, just don't take our space.
Explain the colors. Why the lavender?
I think it's, so the lavender, the color lavender represents all cancers. Lavender signs with lavender lines. Do we have some signs right there?
So here's handicapped spots are blue and white.
Yep. Yep.
So here's space, an example of
the best spaces
of a sign off. You grab an Advent Health sign from me. It might be right there, right behind your chair. Right behind your chair. Here we go. Like this one, dude. So on Advent Health campus, because they were, dude, I had to go through fucking hoops, bro. I succeeded in less than 8 months, man. You can get that one open.
Nice.
So check it out, man. They had to go. I had like 15 fucking people on a Zoom meeting. They're like, congratulations, you got on my
believe it.
So that logo is gold, dude. This is a large, it's like having Coca-Cola as a vendor per se.
Yeah.
You know, as a partner. They're my partner. And so anyway, so the fact is when you show up at a campus that in fact is Advent Health, like this one, we give you an umbrella with our lavender color and our logo so that when you go off campus, you know that you can park there.
Nice.
So it's a continuation thereof. And people are like, well, why don't you use other hospitals? Because Advent Health is a $3.7 billion revenue a year business. It's the largest hospital organization across America, 14 states, including Hawaii, all across America, from here all the way up and through Wisconsin. I am taking them with and through, they're in the South, but into New York in association with the PennPAC, University of Pennsylvania Political Action Committee, in association with nonprofits. So we can take them there too as well. We all know that the Northeast is, every single hospital that you see that has a religious institution, a name, St. Jude's. You understand what I'm saying? Beth Israel. They're all, Advent Health, which is Seventh-day Adventists, they're all associated with religions. And that's how they can take care of you as well as taking care of their organization in regards. So that is the facts, man. If you can tell me a hospital you don't know that has a religious name, I'd be happy to hear it. Do you know one?
Yeah, I can't name one.
You know what I'm saying?
You touched on something else there that I find interesting, because I myself obviously don't run any nonprofits, but I've worked with a lot of nonprofits over the last few years, just kind of setting up different things with the organization I work with in my day job. And, you know, you come across some are great. They, you know, do a lot of great work, and then others are not so great. They don't do a lot of great work, and it really is more for show to say that they sit on a board or something. And I've also experienced, you know, you mentioned, like, I don't want to get too conspiratorial here. So I hope it doesn't come across that way. But, you know, you mentioned, you know, we don't have a cure for cancer.
No.
And one of the things that I have recognized is that when these behemoths, these nonprofit organizations, these research groups, these, all this gets built up into, it becomes its own industry.
It is.
And once it's around for 20 years or some, you know, along those lines, and it has that sort of longevity, people have their whole careers based in this. And if they find a cure for it, and what I've experienced this with is in particular the drug prevention industry. They focused on tobacco for years. It was tobacco, 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 tobacco. Well, they've kind of beat tobacco, at least out here they have. You're not allowed to smoke tobacco anywhere in California, pretty much.
It's out there. It's crazy, Andy. Yeah.
Yeah. But now they're shifting focus and all their efforts on cannabis. And it's like, and people are like, well, they're throwing the same medical reasoning for cannabis as they were using for tobacco. And it's even though it's unbased, what people are starting to realize a little bit is that you know, they have to keep the funding coming in because that's what keeps their organization going and keeps it strong and keeps them all with jobs and kind of keeps that wheel turning, so to speak.
So what's the question? Can I tell you?
I've always been perplexed that we are able to do so much medically. We've never been able to come up with any sort of close to a cure for cancer. It just perplexes me. And I often wonder, based on the way our healthcare system is set up as a system to kind of keep people sick and treat sickness instead of prevention wise, I wonder if it's an incentive, profit incentive to have it structured that way.
You know what? We can do we can think that all day long. And it, more than likely, listen, I've been in these research labs. They're badass. They really are. They got people scanned. I watched them cut this individual's stomach who had died and was taking a piece, and they were doing research. I mean, these machines are incredible. They truly are. And maybe, as my girlfriend who passed said, maybe the disease is the alien that lives within. In other words, the alien's here. I mean, you can look at it however you want, but she was like, you can't kill viruses. Maybe that, in fact, is the alien. And I realize that there are, because I hate to say this, but we, in fact, were visited by the National Security Administration. My girlfriend and I saw, and another friend, spacecrafts for like a half an hour, five different times. And they came down to interview us. So I'm not being crazy here. And I know it sounds crazy as shit, but anybody that hears this and be like, fuck, dude, that happened to me too. Because there are very few, but those of us who have experienced it, we literally called each other like, hey man, I'm not crazy, right? Like, we did see that, but we not only saw it once, but five times. Anyways, we'll discuss this, but. And we're not talking like for fucking 5 minutes. We're talking like 30 fucking minutes. And anyways, then here we, you and I will discuss this further. But so in her idea and association with cancer, possibly so when it comes to a virus and cancer, that it is in fact the alien. And we don't have a cure for it because there isn't one. You know how you cure herpes? You don't.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just saw. I saw there's a new vaccine for that now. I saw it on TV.
Good luck. Bye, kid. Shoot it wherever you want. But the truth of the matter is that I want to get back to as well when it comes to the Best Face Foundation. We also underneath the Church of Mill created Together We Grow. Together We Grow is an opportunity for high school students to volunteer to receive their Bright Future Scholarship in every state. Ours is 100, some are 200 in Texas. There are other ones that are less. There are other ones that are more. But the fact of the matter is, it's a nonprofit. We are across America, underneath the church. Just like we're all around the world. That's why the Mormons can ride their bicycles in Brazil. I'm a cherish. It's the International Religious Freedom Act. So we're everywhere, for that matter. And in fact, so those children come and they participate. The high school students help us plant fruits and vegetables on elementary school campuses so the children don't have to use their WIC card to buy Fritos and Doritos, but in fact they would like to have a tomato or something of that nature walking by campus, they can't. We have the school campuses open at certain times of the day so they can, on Saturdays and Sundays, so that they can visit if they wanted to make a salad for their mother or father and things of that nature. So we're doing that across Orange County and also Hillsborough and things of that nature. But Together We Grow, and Flowers Have Powers. This is another situation where we plant flowers on elementary school campuses by utilizing the students from high school. And when it comes to the internships, University of Central Florida and all campuses, University of Pennsylvania, University of Alabama, have utilized our services, is that you can intern underneath the organization and receive your 3 credit hours, 2 semesters, by interning and helping us further our cause.
Tell me about Baptized by Fire.
Yeah. And so another nonprofit that we created was Baptized by Fire. We realized that, especially with legislation recently, where they're like, we're not going to give these guys a chance. These veterans, American veterans, are like, man, I'm fucked up. I know I am. Just help me. They're like, nope. So we created Baptized by Fire, which in fact supports with grants from the United States government and helps American veterans across America, the entire United States. If you needed, in fact, let's say a disabled ramp to your home, we'll fly our crew out there. Wisconsin's a location, North Dakota, I apologize. Flew a crew out there, got it built, brought them back. The government gives us money. We give it to obviously the persons, our organizations that are underneath our nonprofit. And we just take care of the things that need to be taken care of to help everyone out, man.
So, and we have construction companies underneath this umbrella.
We are fully
equipped.
You can imagine. So I always try to, there again, too, as an analogy, you've got the Mormon church, you've got the Catholic church, which is, mind you, worth $3 trillion. They have their own. Have you ever seen a Catholic priest in a grocery store? Do you understand? Have you ever seen a set of nuns buying milk?
Oh, ever. Yeah.
Eggs? Nuns? Nuns buying eggs? Come on, man.
I think I have seen a nun in a store before, but I couldn't be for sure if she was a real nun or not, though. That's the thing.
I've seen three nuns buying eggs at Publix. No. Cottage cheese.
No.
They are what's referred to as an organization that's within itself. And so that's why when it comes to our organization, we operate within ourselves, but we spread our wings. We are out in public at grocery stores or whatever, you know, helping out whomever and however. There again, I'm going to say it again. Have you ever seen a nun or a priest driving down the road, going to Publix, stopping at 7-Eleven? Never.
Yeah, they probably don't have to go out. They probably got people to do that for them.
That's my point. And so we were discussing the conspiracies and association. You can all day long say that Jesus, the name Jesus is a Hebrew name, mind you. The word Christ is Greek. It means the anointed one. Provided that in 313 AD by Constantine, the Roman Empire, so that he could, in fact, tax one particular religion. And if you don't believe me, look it up, man. And the fact of the matter is they did behead Paul and John in Rome. There were 90, it was 90 AD, which is crazy because you got to think like, how is that possible? They were like 50 something when they, or 30, let's say. That would be like they're 135 years old. You have to ask yourselves about the whole, the date, like how does that?
I mean, Noah,
when it comes
was,
to like,
Noah was 900 when he built the
ark. Right. I'm 7,000 years old, by the way.
Yeah, he's 7,000.
I am.
Matt's about 42.
I mean, I would, this is opening up a whole different direction of our conversation, but I'm highly into the concept of the idea that we don't know a lot about our past. You know, I think that there's a possibility of, I think we've maybe had some fairly advanced civilizations that have gotten wiped out, completely. I listen a lot to, and read a lot of stuff from Graham Hancock and Randall Carlson, who studies obviously archaeology, but also cosmic impact theories over the course of Earth's history. And I don't know, there's a lot of evidence for these theories, it seems like. So
they're back for a reason. It's the dawning of the age of Aquarius. It started in this particular year in February. There's a reason why they're coming and they visited us. We'll get back on the subject, but I'm telling you what you're saying is true. And there's a reason why they're here.
Well, now when you say they're visiting us, it's interesting you say that because I'm going through a book right now called it's an old book called The 12th Planet, from Zachariah Sitchin, if you know who that is. And it's on this theory that there's a 12th planet that is on a very long orbital cycle, and it only cycles like every, I'm going to get this wrong, but every 2400 years or 2800 years or something.
156 years.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. Something like that. So we would not actually have a recorded history of it. The last time it was here, the theory would be that it was around the time of the ancient Sumerians. And so I don't know, but this book seems to be leading me in a direction to think that they're expecting it to come back into the cycle here fairly soon. I don't know if that's really true or not, but
you know what, I don't either. But I can.
It's interesting to think about.
Well, it's interesting because I do. I know we're talking about the best space, which is all about cancer, and that in those. But I want to express to you that, in fact, what I'm telling you is they showed us a picture of 1452 in Belgium. We drew the exact same picture of what we saw. It was exactly the same, man. And our conversations that we, the fact is that they let us, I don't want to say control them, but you ask them to do something, you can point to the sky and spin your finger and they spin like rainbows come. It's, there's no way. There are three of us there. So listen, man, I'm a doctor.
So when,
my other friend's an accountant and my other friend's an executive, we're not like crazy people.
Can you set the stage for this? Like when was this? Where was this?
Do we want to talk about this? Yeah. I mean, I would be happy to. The very first time that we saw them, I mean, this is fun, right?
Yeah, cool. Absolutely. Right. We'll circle back around to everything.
Come here. So you can see. So this female and I, we're friends. Hello. She's a business partner. She's my partner. And check it out, man. We were like at Bay Hill Classic. You know the Bay Hill Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So one of our friends has a house in the 13th hole. And we were like, let's just go out and lay on the grass. It was beautiful night. And then all of a sudden, this interesting haze, this mist blew in, and we were underneath a tree that was, it looked dead at the time, but the next day, anyways, and this mist flows in out of nowhere and it drops down this mist onto us. And the mist was difficult to inhale. It was chemical in regards. And I was like, we'll never forget this. I was like, this is the most interesting thing I've ever in my life. So then not even like
2 months later,
maybe 2 months. Yeah. My friend, Paco Arias herself, we're sitting on our roof, just chilling out here in Thornton Park. And sure as fucking shit, I was, my friend was, we were talking, my face was facing the sky because there's a tree above us and his was facing this way. And Dana goes, holy shit. Do you see that? And sure as fucking shit, man, it looks like a cigar. It's like it's orange in regards, and there are two black dots on the side, and then they came at right, like in other words, and then they all took off across the sky, and there were no, and this mist came in, and we inhaled it again, mm-hmm. And even I was like, I can't breathe, dude. It was just like a mist, but. I honestly, my voice changed like this. I'm like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. It was fucking freaky deaky. And we saw a smorgasbord of activity.
They stayed a long time with
us. We cried. I was like, well, I guess I'm not going to work tomorrow. I was like, I'm not going to work tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like, they're obviously here. Like,
how do you work after that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking like the entire 360 degree circumference of our look, my light, of the, there was a blue light all the way around the bottom, and they were fucking everywhere for 30 minutes, man. Not like, I was like, we were like, we started crying. I was like, well, shit. We came inside, I turned the TV on to see if it was on the news. Mm-mm. We asked the people across the street, they saw, they're like, what are you talking about? We were like, what? And then it happened again. So what we wanted to do was this, because on the 60 Minutes episode with the female pilot and the male pilot, and they kept looking at each other saying, you did see that, right? We called each other the next day. I'm like, hey, man, like, we're like, dude, we saw that, right? Like, we sat here in my living room. Like, what do we say? What do we do now? Like, how do we go through with our life? Like, how do we move forward with our life? Seriously, because it was so incredible that there was no way you could be like, that was normal. No. Say it again.
No. That was spectacular.
And really, we literally looked on the news, nothing. The next day, nothing. I was like, wait. So we're like, hey, man, we did see that, right? And then it happened at Lake Highland Preparatory School.
Yeah, okay.
Check this out. herself and myself. We just went down. There's that grass right there. We were just looking up in the sky. Oh, mind you, let me get back to this. So with that haze, the definition in the haze, if we asked the haze to do like be a cat, perfect whiskers. I'm like a fucking cat, dude, not like a cloud cat. Whiskers, black dots, eyes sunken, perfect.
Very vivid, yes.
Fucking cat, right? She was like, I go, initially they start off, they do it themselves. They start off as a monkey. They did, whomever it is or what it, whatever, a small little monkey, like just a little like spider monkey.
Curious George.
And then it turned into a larger monkey.
Yes.
And then it turned into a larger, the faces were spectacular, dude. I'm not talking like
tail to it.
Like you see my face like that, yep. Man. Like sunken, anything that was going to be a picture, like yourself and myself are looking at each other as we speak, perfect. And then it turned into a monkey. And then it morphed kind of an ape. And it kind of looked, I was like, oh, this is fun. We even said to ourselves, they're showing us the continuation of life, the evolution of life. Like, we're like, maybe that's what they're trying to show us, is like the evolution of life. Because and every single time that we even thought or doubted, another mist would drop down. And I have to say that it was chemical in regards, and it was in my throat for, and it may still be for at least 2 days. Every single time I coughed, or you could taste
the metallic
yep. aspect of this mist. And then it turned into an older gentleman, gray beard, perfect. And he extended, you're familiar with Thorne Park, downtown Orlando, Thorne Park, mm-hmm. extended his body and his white shirt, his perfect features, and his white shirt and his brown, like khaki pants, whatever, all the way to Winter Park in the mist. No shit, dude. Hold on. I'm going to blow your mind. And he and mind you, there are three of us, and he turned and looked at us because we kept saying, we're like, oh my God, what do you want from us? Like we were like, okay, man, obviously you're here. So what do you want from us? And I will also say this, because my friend Paco had all of a sudden had these like dark brown, black spaces around his eyes. And I was like, dude, you look like the guy from Adam's Family.
Right.
And then her face became like, that's when we were inhaling it. It seemed like we were dying, truly. And I asked him, I was like, did it anything with me? They're like, no. But anywho, she can agree. I mean, Paco looked like, we looked like we were dying.
Yes.
And then sure as fucking shit, man. Anytime we doubted, I don't want to say doubted, but they would just dump more. But that old man looked at us, turned his head as a mist, and looked at us. And not for like fucking
three seconds.
We're talking like
some time.
5 minutes, man. They could move their features, bro. And then we saw them again, just to continue on, Lake Highland Preparatory School on the campus, not the campus, but across the lake. Same. I go, you can feel them when they come. Mm-hmm. If we ask them to come, they come. And my skin started tingling. She was like, they're coming. Sure as fucking shit, that same mist went over her head, and it was the old man's face.
I'm same not, exact.
I'm talking specific, man. Like, I see you, you see me. If you saw me the next day in this picture, you'd be like, that's Jay Johnson, right?
Yeah.
Exactly the same that we saw 2 months earlier. And then we went to the beach. Mind you, we're invisible. And when the NSA came down, they said, we think you've been aboard. I'm like, we don't doubt that at all, man. Because we're invisible when they're here. I know this sounds crazy, and I really don't care what your audience believes. There are three of us. We're professionals. We're not crazy people. And we saw this shit. And so at the beach, because we wanted to see if, in fact, because when it came to the 60 minutes, there's two particular pilots on the aircraft carrier. They keep going, you guys saw these aliens. I'm like, no, we did. Anyway. These particular, they're not even crafts. It seems like it's them. And I realize that maybe the craft is, because they don't move like they move wherever they want. And so we wanted to see if, in fact, that they could go into the ocean. So we went to Satellite Beach, where there was little light. And sure as fucking shit, man, it was a show like never before. It was a dark night. It was the fullest, the where the moon was not ever visible. What's that called? Like the darkest night ever. What is that called? There was no moon whatsoever. And sure enough,
people says hello.
They came in and they were everywhere. Anyway, and anyhow, and the reason why we know that we're invisible is because there was a car accident that was at the location where we parked. And I was like, oh shit. We ran up there to see because there were ambulances and fire persons and cops everywhere. And I coincidentally, when I was running up the boardwalk, there was a, little did I know, it was a boogie board, but I thought maybe a body got thrown. It looked like a body. So I was like, oh shit, a body. And they, okay. Because it was like, you know, like maybe they didn't see it. Maybe they were looking for it. I don't know, man. But they were like, dude, I'm talking like fire department, mm-hmm. cops, ambulances. We walked amongst them and they never acknowledged that we were there.
You weren't there.
And we were loud.
Really, and we were quiet, yeah. man. I was like, parallel, like, what's going on? They never even turned and looked at us.
You're in a parallel universe.
Yep.
So I have to ask some obvious questions here. One is, were you a believer in UFOs, aliens, things of that nature before this?
Yeah. Very much so. I'm raised in the Space Coast, and I know that I have had experiences as a child because I expressed it to my parents when I was younger. I'm like, do you guys keep taking me away at nighttime and bringing me back on your, these, there were black figures that would, anywho in any way. They're like, mm-mm. I'm like, well, I now look back at it and they look like aliens, to be honest with you. I mean, anyway, and anywho, but listen, man, we're not crazy, man. And that's why the national security, they flew down to, we sat in a room and I was like, we're going to tell you what we know. And that's all we're going to say. We literally got up and left after 2 hours. I was like, we said what we had to say. They're like, every single thing that we said matched perfectly with what they had over time in general. Like I said, when it comes to the talking about Age of Aquarius, those particular ages are retroactive. That's why the Pisces and the fish is represented by Jesus Christ in that particular time. Water is what the Watcher Bear is. Those polar caps are melting then. And I'm telling you, get ready for water because it's coming, brother. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying that it's coming. Anyways, anywho.
Yeah, there's been a lot of cycles, and the Earth's went through a lot of cycles of deep freezes, ice ages versus warming periods. But when you describe that, I almost wonder. My other question is it sounds very much like, you know, I think someone who is maybe skeptical would say, well, were you possibly on any mind expansion products during these experiences? Because it could be interpreted that way, I think.
Listen, positively. So the first time, we smoked pot. The second time, had some mushrooms. The third time, nothing. We were sitting and then there again too as well. So it was kind of like, I wonder if they presented themselves while we were high that, you know, first time. And the next time when we were doing a little bit of mushrooms, when my friend Paco saw them, and then we decided we're not going to, like, herself and myself, we're not going to do anything. And this is, we weren't even, as a matter of fact, they come out of nowhere. They come unannounced. And so, but you can feel them coming. So same scenario, totally sober. I think maybe we had a bottle of wine, but we wasn't drinking and driving. Maybe we had,
we drank really all.
Yeah. And so, and then when it came to the beach, same scenario. We were just there, as a matter of fact. We have a beach house there and we were concerned about the accident. We were totally sober. And so we were trying to correlate that, like, I wonder if they came to us initially because we wouldn't be afraid, right. or we would be like, wow, that was trippy or whatever. But
your mind was open.
Yeah. It was beyond a trip. Exactly. Our mind was open. And
we never felt threatened at all. Not afraid. It was just, and yeah. I actually stood up and was like, welcome.
We literally stood up and like, welcome. Yeah. No lie. And then they put on a show, yes. man. If you pointed and spun your finger, they would spin. If you asked them to do a face, they would. It was... I'm just telling you, man. I'm just saying.
I know it sounds crazy.
Well, sure. To give you, so I've never had an experience, but I think it's ridiculous to think that we are the only sentient beings, whether that means that there's creatures, there's other sentient beings in universes that we can't have access to yet, whether they're interdimensional, whether it's time travel that's occurring, whatever it is that's occurring.
Well, they're here.
Something is occurring. I just don't know what it is. And I've been fascinated by this my whole life, because to me, this would be the greatest uncovering in the history of humanity, because it would change fundamentally in my mind, the way we view our reality, the way we view religion, sure. the most fundamental things to humanity would be sort of changed if this were to come true.
Well, let's discuss that too as well, Matthew, because when it comes to, and we'll get back to the, you know, listen, the best space is the key to the cast. But when it gets, the fact is, because these notes are interesting, is that the government is now releasing, as you know, the 60 Minutes episode. Now they're like, we agree. There are definitely things out there. I can show you a picture on my TV. I took a photo of a snapshot on my TV when they were showing this. The same fucking large cigar, orange aspect. Mm-hmm. There was a butt in LA, and I was like, we were like, holy shit, that's it. Mm-hmm. This isn't like, you know, I can send a picture to you to show you. They're like, this is over LA right now, over the water. I'm like, holy crap. That's our, you know what I'm saying?
There's too many similarities. Like I've went back and listened to a lot of interviews with people who have had experiences,
they
and
the
there's
government down to talk to us, dude. They flew the government down.
What is that like? What is that like, having the NSA to come? That's a little, it had me very nervous at least.
Well, no. I was like, no, we called them. And I was like, I said, we just saw this 60 minute show. I go, we contacted the pilot, the female pilot. I don't recall her name, but we emailed her and like, man, we totally understand. We realized you kept looking at your co-pilot or your wingman saying, we did see this, right? We did this for fucking weeks, man. Like, we did see this, right? Mm-hmm. And it happened again and again. And now it's just kind of like, well, you know, when are they coming back to see us again? And honestly, I feel comfortable right now, them not being like calling us to come and hang out just for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because it was a bit overwhelming. It was overwhelming. It was like within 6 months, we saw them 5 times. I'm not talking like, you know, a space shot going by. We're talking about fucking like an hour. Like when we're at the beach, it was like at least 45 minutes. The whole sky. Mm. It was the darkest night. We went to a beach area where there's no like hotels and things like that. So it was dark as shit. Sure as fucking shit, man. There was like little kids are playing over there. These little alien crafts, and then over there it was like, you know, these larger ones are having. In other words, it was like a show, literally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that large one, that big cigar aspect, and you can look this up. It's an orange. You can look all over the internet if you want. That's what we saw, mind you. The picture that they showed us with regards to in Belgium was 1452. I know it was that particular. The drawing that they had in that town square, exactly the same fucking thing, dude. Swear.
Yeah, no.
100%.
This is the truth.
The truth, dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a pastor of a church. Man, I'm not, if I was going to lie, it wouldn't be about this, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
I don't
want to lie. The fact of the matter is, was the last time the National Security Agency or Association flew down and talked to you about things?
Never.
Well, I was like, no, we were like, we have to talk about this. We called them. I was like, hey, man, we felt bad. I was like, listen, we want to talk to, she's right. We saw the same thing. And they're like, they hung up on us. Then all of a sudden, Fasistica Singh, we get a fucking like, we'll be there in 2 days. I'm like,
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Swear, dude.
Yeah. You know, there's another gentleman, and one of the questions I had, you kind of answered, was how frequently these all occurred together. And there's another gentleman that I don't know how I feel about him. Dr. Stephen Greer, who holds these conferences where, he claims that he has a procedure, an SOP for making contact and calling the UFOs to them. I'm just curious. I don't know if I believe that, but I am curious. Are there any common traits during the five experiences that you notice,
they're all exactly the same. In other words, initially when we, our first experience at, on the golf course, the 13th Hill Club, underneath, we're just sitting out there, man, and just literally just looking up in the sky. I was like, wow, this is so beautiful. This mist rolls in, and there's always a mist that rolls in, and that's where you're like, oh, and literally your skin crawls, like, because it's not a cloud structure, man. It's a defined, like, it just comes out of nowhere, dude. And you're just like, where? And that's why we were asking the persons across the street from where my home is, did any of you guys see this? They were all outside, and they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you didn't see that mist on that? They're like, no. And every single time, and I'm going to say this again, and you can agree, we're invisible. It's the most, we literally walked amongst officers. And we said that the first time we walked back down to our place on the beach and got our things. So we'll just go ahead and leave. You know, it was like midnight. Yeah. We had already seen, you know, extraordinarily amazing night with regards to the spacecraft that we saw. And so we went to get our things and we're coming back. And there was another police officer that was in the parking lot. And it was like a DUI or something. And we like walked. It's like, we're not even there. Like, can you imagine an officer saying, hey, did you see anything? You know, nothing. Like, not even a glance. You could walk right up to them. They never even looked at up.
Yeah.
Talked to them. They never. It was weird, man. That's all I got to say, man. We were like, and that's where we're like, maybe we're invisible when they're here. Mm-hmm. That was kind of our, because they're again too as well. The couple of times previously, nobody saw them nor us. And we were talking to our neighbors off of our roof and they never acknowledged it. We're like, what the fuck is it? We honestly were like, what's going on? Like, what? Swear.
I know. It sounds
crazy, but man, it's true shit, dude. Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of things I think that we just don't understand about nature. I think, you know, sometimes we discover something in science and we sort of hold on to it like it's a fact. And there might be other things that we haven't learned yet that might change our perspective on that. And I think we've experienced that recently with different studies that have been done.
The Hubbard, I'm sorry, the Webb telescope that's out there. I mean, listen, we're on the verge of, the fact of the matter is there are other dimensions. And I really don't care what anybody thinks or feels. We walked amongst ambulance persons, firemen, police officers. We were amongst them. We wasn't like, we were like trying to hide. We were like, what's going on? Nobody even looked at us. I thought I jumped over a dead body. I was trying to say, hey, I think there's a body back there. Maybe you didn't get. And I was like, what's going on? They're like, nobody even, it was this, there's no way to explain it. None. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyways, anyhow, but listen, the reason why I created the best space because of camp.
Yeah. Well, let's circle back. We'll tie this in. So circling back, you know, we've been talking about things we can't explain about nature, but some things we can explain about nature.
Why are you using their word nature? Here's the thing. It's interesting. The word nature, if you can tell me the definition of it, I would be happy to hear it. Do you know it? I don't, but I will tell you something.
I mean, yeah, I don't know the textbook.
You know what? Do you know the classic? Here's the thing that's so interesting that I find so interesting. Nothing came, everything came from outer space that we're about a part of. Right? So, but when you're like, oh, plastic bottles are, they're not organic. They're not, you know, they're, we created that shit, man. Everything that's on this planet now is natural. We created every single thing that's here, dude. Yeah.
We did, but a lot of the things I would counter that by saying a lot of the things that we have created are not do not occur naturally on their own without our making it happen.
But aren't we in fact a being of nature?
Yes. So we are the only creature on this rock flying through space that has the cognitive ability to make decisions based on intellect and past experiences. And so for that reason,
so like a beaver, can you fucking do what a beaver does? A beaver?
Yes, we can build dams. Sure. Certainly we can build dams way better than beavers.
Well, okay. I understand that. But the fact of the matter is that everything that's on this particular planet was brought here millions of years ago, 4.5.
Sure.
With regards to supernovas and things like that, you know, gold knows particular aspects and factor from outer space. That's where we're, you know, where just space does for that matter. But as a natural being, we have the ability to create things that may be considered unnatural, but you can't create something as a natural being that's considered unnatural.
I think that's a perspective to have on it.
I'm not about plastic bottles. I'm just saying the fact that these particular aspects that we want to argue over, we made.
Yeah.
In fact, it's part of our nature. That's why there is a humongous amount of bottles floating around the ocean where seaweed is and birds can land and things of that nature. But because I'm a natural being, I attributed to that island of plastic sometime or another.
Yes. Yeah, we all have. I see they're doing making headway on it though. You know,
making headway on shit, yeah, bro.
They're also trying to SpaceX, which is a part of our organization. Let me get back to that too. Elon Musk, Astrobeam. Because Beyond the Moon is our project with regards to the Florida Space Consortium, where we're not going to the moon, man. We're going to Mars. And so to have,
we're going to the moon.
We're going.
We're not going to let China have all that H3.
Listen.
Going to be a war on who can mine the moon.
Listen, buddy.
Why are we going there to begin with?
Because China just found like a new mineral or whatever it is considered component called H3 helium-3 that's supposedly worth $250 billion.
Yeah, yeah. Go get it.
Yeah.
Could be an unlimited source of energy is what they're saying. And if China's the only one that has access to it, we better learn to speak Mandarin.
I already do. Yeah, man. I'm way ahead of you on that, man. Yeah. But the truth of the matter is that you're right about, well, you know, you're wrong. Here's the fact of the matter is that when it comes to the fucking source, listen, Elon Musk is a genius. And he's a part of our organization. We didn't create Astrobee, which because you have to have a centrifuge when it comes to pollination and pollinators on Mars. We tried this with NASA and they all died because they didn't have they didn't have a gravity source. So they were like, how do I go to a flower? Right.
They tried to do this on the space station or.
No, on Mars. And so, well, they did. They were just trying to correct. It didn't work. Mm. They all died.
Right. Right.
All of them, except like 183 bees. Mm-hmm. Anyways. Truly, and anywho, in any way. So, with regards to the Florida Space Consortium, these students, PhDs and master's program, created a centrifuge to provide a source of gravity. Because all a bee needs is a source of gravity. Even though it may and it reduces itself going far as to 3% less, because that's what they're going to be experiencing. And there's a false pollinator, like a sunflower seed like this, where they can continue to pollinate and continue to create before they get to Mars. And then they would go obviously out into the greenhouses and pollinate the flowers that were planted previously. So those aspects of science are taking place, and the moon has a, I'm sure there has a ton of things wrong, but let them go up there and try to find it. They got chopsticks up there, lots of them. And the H3 concept, I already saw that this morning and yesterday too as well. And they're like, who's going to go get it? China's the only country. Man, come on, bro.
That's what I'm saying. We'll never let that happen.
Watch it happen. Well, I don't know the fucking, I don't want to speak poorly about NASA, but I will, that they don't know what the fuck they're doing, dude. It has to be Elon Musk and Jeffrey Bezos who's just shooting his dick off into space with that little thing that wrecks all the time.
I'm a little less excited about Bezos as a rocketeer and a space exploration, but what Musk has done in even this short amount of time, when I saw that rocket come down and reverse land perfectly on the thing, that was the first time as an adult that I felt like something had been delivered that I had imagined when I was a little kid, as far as like the future, like flying cars and all this. That's the first thing that I had seen that really made me feel excited again. And I agree. I think if we have any hope about exploring outer space and beyond our atmosphere, I think Elon Musk is going to be the one, you know, driving that force.
You're right. Yeah. And the statistics, I mean, he's, I want to say it's like 98. No, he's had all of his spacecrafts come back and things of that nature. He's launching up into space, as you know, Starlink, which is going to provide Wi-Fi to countries across the world. Right. The fact of the matter is, it's going to provide the opportunity for Mars to have a Wi-Fi link back to Earth, because all of the satellites are above Earth. And all you have to do is send a signal to that satellite and you can communicate with Earth from Mars.
Yeah.
It's about Wi-Fi in Guam. Mm-mm. It's about providing an opportunity to have intergalactic communication skills with all the satellites that would encircle Earth. And there's the key. And he's also shooting off into space very soon, like a garbage collector. Involved. Did you see that? Did you see that piece of satellite? Yeah. The green one yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, that's like our next concern, right? Especially launching, you know, Starlink and things like that up there, is we've got our own garbage patch encircling our atmosphere.
Well, you know what? Matthew, and I appreciate your thinking in this regard. Just do yourself, if you would take a look at Elon's ideas and packages, he's in fact created and has already created a garbage collection space craft or several thereof that would in fact scoop up all that stuff.
Nice.
Because they're everywhere. There's a lot of trash up there, man.
So, we started talking this about bees and a centrifuge for bees.
Correct.
And so I guess I would like to get back onto that a little bit here. Tell me a little bit, like, because to me, I think I found it very interesting. One is, I just love honey. I think honey's amazing.
Yeah.
I eat a little bit of honey probably on most days. And, but otherwise, I think there's a lot of people who don't realize bees are kind of an annoyance to them, and they don't really think much about them except maybe just not getting stung. But I was intrigued when I heard about this church, and is it based around the efforts to just increase the ability to preserve environments that are going to propagate bee propagation itself, I guess, to use that word twice in one sentence.
Do you know, the fact is that because I live in downtown Orlando, and we can create a bee sanctuary within an urban environment, where if they understand which we have when it comes to Paramore, the Black Bee Project, where in fact, you're, instead of swatting at them, you're letting them land on flowers that you plant. So you can do this all day long in a rural environment where nobody knows that there's bees out there, because I don't go drive through cow patties and stuff like that. But if I live downtown and there is a way for us to, in fact, put flowers and plants on top of persons' businesses' roofs in that regard, and allow them to, in fact, harvest the honey and utilize it for, let's say, a drink and those aspects. And so that's where we connected with University of Central Florida, Dr. Danny Siegler, where we could, in fact, put those organizations on top of buildings. And Rob Nunziata, who is the CEO of Florida, was it FBC? Florida Bank is a loan organization, large, is huge. And he gave us all of his buildings downtown, the Walgreens building, Church Street Station, man. We've got planters up there, for bees and stuff like that. And just the kids get a chance to, the high school kids get a chance to go upstairs or up there and work with them and make sure the flowers are good. So pollination and pollinators. In fact, the butterfly, the monarch butterfly, we had a monarch butterfly project that we instilled and incorporated in tons of flowers up and down all the avenues down here. Do you recall, and I hate to say this, but the female that was, I probably shouldn't do that, that was murdered, and she's standing in front of that butterfly wings and Orlando anyways, but that was part of the project, the Monarch Pledge is what it's called. And I was like, oh shit, she was in Orlando. But
interesting. Yeah, I love projects like that. You know, there's you mentioned earlier too, where you're kind of planting vegetables and fruits and things like this for kids to be able to access. I think like it's such an important thing, because like I work just working with some food banks and things out here, especially over the last couple of years, where look, there was a lot of people who already didn't have the greatest access to food, and especially healthy food or fresh food or natural food, and you know, having the ability to not have to go to the store, or maybe they're maybe isn't so prominent. Maybe in Orlando it's an issue too, but these little food deserts where there's just not a lot in a community to go down the road and go shopping. I think these are key, you know, because it really puts the power back in the people's hands, where they can kind of control, you know, they can cut their own costs in some respect, but you know, more than importantly than that, it gives them the access to fresh, healthy food, which I think is important.
Yeah. Which is always like, that's always the dream of everybody, but 91% of the students in Orange County Public School System, OCPS, are on welfare or receive assistance. And so that walking into 7-Eleven and preventing, you know, presenting your WIC card is so much more simple to get a bag of Doritos or whatever, because you're hungry. But what we're trying to do is inspire children. If you inspired a brother or an individual who had a sister, and then they inspired their friends and things of that particular nature, it's utopia in regards, man. But at least it's worth an opportunity for these kids to work off their volunteer hours to receive, you know, the Florida Bright Future Scholarship and other organizations, you know, to get into college. The children that do tend to participate with regards to the volunteering are really smart kids. Yeah. They're going to college and they want to do good things. And then they come out on a Saturday and a Sunday morning. And we knew 18 planters on elementary school campuses, like, you know, across. And it's beautiful because then the kids get a chance. We've got videos and pictures of the kids harvesting the food that we planted for them. And it's kind of cool, man.
It's wonderful.
It's kind of cool.
Now they have access to healthy food.
You know what? And it's up to a child to decide whether he or she wants to participate and go pick a tomato at lunchtime. She didn't have any money that day. Go outside and grab a tomato and grab, you know, whatever's out there for you to eat. Truly, it's better than nothing.
It's way better than nothing. And honestly, it's probably better than what they could go use that WIC card down at the 7-Eleven for. And I think,
well, they can't leave anyway. So pardon
right.
me. But right. And so while they're
locked, I would even make the argument, maybe the school food for that matter.
We just can't harvest that much food. It's just, I really understand what you're talking about, you know, like, you know, 400 kids. And so,
right.
But I
think there was somebody I heard speaking the other day that was like, you know, they were talking about eating and dieting, and they're like, look, not everybody is going to make the right to help the healthy choice. Not everybody's going to make that choice, but for those that would make that healthy choice, if they had both the information that it was a healthier choice and the access to do so, there is a certain percentage of people that would take that. And I think, you know,
yeah, but you're
talking about, you got to pick your battles, you know?
Right. Well, and we're talking about kids. And so you're what's referred to as a product of your environment. Mm. And I only believe what my mother and father told me because I was a kid, right? Until you start to think for yourself. We have free will, but not as a child. But my parents were rocking Joe Frazier, so I'm a good kid. But the fact of the matter is, if that's all you know, if you know that that's where you can go get fed, in other words, that's where the food is. If I give you this card, you can go down there. Or you can walk outside and pick a tomato and do this and do that. I'm probably going to do what my parents taught me to do and gave me money to do. I'm just saying, we're a product of our environment, and hopefully we can change that environment one day. But hey, man, it's a shot. There again, too, as well, when it comes to the kids, and hopefully they'll participate and eat. The fact of the matter is, when it comes to the students, the high school students that want to go to college, we're giving them an opportunity to do something good in society instead of, you know, sweeping streets. Not that that's bad, mind you, but providing opportunities for children to have food source.
Absolutely.
And they're good about themselves. You know, they're going to as well. If you want to, you can. I mean, sooner or later, there's going to be a kid that's going to walk outside. It's going to take some tomatoes and pull up a piece of garlic and slice up something in his cafeteria, put a little bit of oil on there with some vinegar. And every fucking kid in the school is going to be like, oh shit.
What 15-year-old do you know is doing all that?
He's from France, man. He's a fucking exchange student, bro. But so he learns.
Yeah.
I'm just
let's circle back to the best space. So what are you kind of, I think, touched on it earlier, but like, what are the expansion plans to really kind of put this in and get this, you know, is it a nationwide, do you have a nationwide strategy you're trying to approach, or is it more regional at this point?
No, there again too as well. So Advent Health, our business partner, the Advent Health Foundation, is in 14 states. So we are literally across the Midwest up to in the South, South Carolina, I think North Carolina, no, right there at the edge. And then Texas all the way up and through Wisconsin. And on the West Coast, you have Washington, Oregon, California, and Hawaii, and also Nevada. Yes, and Nevada too as well. So we are expansive in that regard, and we will be. We just started this particular organization in 2020. So we've gone quite far in regards, man, because it's difficult. And I don't know a single person who's like, this is stupid. You're going to give parking to my mom who is battling cancer. She can park in a handicap space. No, she can't. So And so these organizations and association, like when it comes to Sunny's and also Avon Health, which we, in fact, I pay for all the signs personally, because I promised my girlfriend I would spend. She's like, don't let me down. And I won't. So I was going to spend every dollar that I had. And we were giving quite a, you know, when it came to the government, a significant amount of money to do it, which we have utilized. And but when it comes to private industries like Sunny's and the Orlando Magic, which is Advent Health is a medical sponsor and provider with them. So we have that. As a matter of fact, today, it's okay. There's the Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, Jeff Vanek, whose mother died at 57 years old. So we applied for a grant to be recognized by them. He gives away $50,000 for each home game, which we felt very confident. We applied last year, we applied late, but they contacted us again, like, finish this application, you guys are gonna, we're gonna get it. And anywho, in any way. So then he's has a significant amount of money, and we're looking for companies to understand that. When I said this in a recent radio spot, like, we want to give business to your business. In other words, if I can't, if I have to park at the back of your parking lot, you're not going to get my business if I'm battling cancer. I can't park in the ADA space. So the idea behind it is by providing the best space on your campus or your parking lot with regards to a business, we're giving your business business. Otherwise, we're not going to do, we can't show up. And we're in fact working with Instacart. We're doing a calculation in regards also Grubhub and OpenTable, several other locations. They do consistently $2 million or 2 million transactions a day across the United States of America. So we're coming up with the calculation, which we'll present to them next week, because they're like, this is awesome, because the best space, how do you know if somebody calls and they're in their bed dying of cancer, they're sick, they have in fact a senior citizen phone number where you can get discounts. But what about the person that's dying? Like my girlfriend, like I can't go to the store, you know?
So like if you have a handicap pass, you have to register for a handicap parking sticker, right? Is there any process for these parking spaces for people that are out there?
No. What we do with the best space, we have stickers, which is, you know, honorable in regards, but the best space is policed by morality.
Yeah.
If you knew somebody who fought cancer, you'd be like, I would never, I would be the last thing I would ever think to do. And so they're gone too. And Paul Kennedy had to walk 6 floors down, couldn't even make it to the front door. Can you imagine? Like, the fact is that with the experience of cancer, whether it's yourself or a loved one, it would be the sin of all sins, man, to pull into that parking space because you needed to run in and grab something real fast. Well, so do they, man, but they can't walk 50 fucking yards, man. And so it's just a police of morality. Like, you wouldn't do it. I mean, I would never, ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. It would be the shame that ridicule that someone would get, especially in today's society where everybody has a camera on their phone and could put it immediately up online. I don't know anybody that would take that risk.
Well, there's a thing. The reality is that the reason why we, on top of the fact that when it came to, like, you know, the ADA spaces and Sparks, my girlfriend's like, I would never, even if she received, she's like, I don't look handicapped, so I would feel bad parking there, considering somebody's going to like lower their wheelchair down, you know, and wheel themselves in. And so the whole concept behind it was, well, we'll just be next to those places. The best space will be next to those ADA spaces. And those individuals getting out, like my girlfriend, who's stunningly beautiful, she could walk to the store. When everybody that saw her walk would be like, that girl's dying. You know, she's on the chemo, just hadn't kicked in yet, you know, but she'll be bald in like 2 days, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's everybody I know that's been affected by cancer. It's always such a personal story because it's a journey. It's not something like a heart attack where it kind of happens out of the blue and it's done. It's always such a long journey that's so emotional for everyone around them as well. And it's obvious that, you know, this is a labor of an emotional labor for you as well. It's a labor of love to some to an extent, certainly. I really wish you the best with it, because I think it's a great cause. And, you know, I would love nothing more than to, you know, I don't have a lot of reach, but, you know, whatever I can do to help support, I certainly will, because, you know, I think it's something that needs more exposure and needs to grow.
Yeah, you do have a reach. I'm on the radio with you right now. So the fact of the matter is that the fact is that everybody's been touched by cancer.
Yeah.
So you can imagine, because we've all, if you experience it, like I have, like they have too as well. There are no parking spaces for those individuals. And it may sound trivial in regards, but you can imagine giving a present to somebody every year where they could have, in fact, or every day for that matter. The fact is that you're going to give somebody a chance to park somewhere where your mother couldn't, your sister couldn't, your loved one couldn't, your wife couldn't. And, you know, for $100, man, you know what? People spend that at a bar. People spend that here and there and everywhere, man. It's like $100, but $100, really? I'm like, really, dude? I mean, $100, dude. Put a dollar aside every day for 100 days.
Yeah.
Buy a sign.
Absolutely. I love it. Tell everybody where, you know, all the listeners, where they can learn more about the Best Space and kind of, you know, contribute if they wish to do so and help maybe even bring it to, you know, a business in their area.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. And you know, Florida, we've got it rocking and rolling down here at Publix.
Bestspace.org. And we have a GoFundMe as well.
Nice.
Bestspace.org. Take a look, man. And if you want to talk about aliens again, we should talk privately about the aliens. I'm just saying.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I want to just thank you again for joining me today. And yeah, it's been a pleasure talking. Very interesting conversation. And I really wish the best for your growth here with the Best Space.
For sure. Matthew, before we close out, just ask your audience, or I will ask your audience, if you know anybody who has cancer and everybody raises their hand, just give them a chance to have a parking space close to the front door because they don't have one right now. And that's it.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen.